are just
Valon and Olive is where I have the bookmark.
All right, so we'll go back a little bit. Let's start from Mitmar. We're in Vav Amud Aleph. 12 lines from the bottom. Vav Amud Aleph, 12 lines from the bottom.
Vav Amud Aleph?
Yes, 12 lines from the bottom. We had learned this, but we'll start again. Itzmar, Efroach Shnal Ad B'Yamtif. So this is a new problem. We are not dealing with an egg that was laid on Yamtif, but we are dealing with a fertilized egg that was hatched on Yamtif. So the egg was laid 3 weeks ago, whatever. How long does it take from the time an egg is laid to the... It's not the same day.
Obviously.
Right. All right, so the egg was laid 3 weeks ago, and it was hatched on Yamtif. And now you have an Efroach, you have a chick. So... is there an analogous rule that just as I don't eat the egg that was laid on Yom Tov, can I eat the Efroach that was hatched on Yom Tov? So Rav Amar Aser. Rav says it's the same as an egg. An egg that was laid is a newly created entity that is Aser. And Shmuel, however, V'itamer Rav Yochanan Amar, he says that it is mutter. Now the Gemara says the following. Rav Amar Aser. Rav says the Efroach is Aser to Shecht. Muktzahu, it is considered to be something that was not designated for use. In other words, he's learning Pashut, it was a newly created entity. Just because, in other words, when Yom Tov began, it was an egg. Now it's a chick. The chick is a new thing that was not Muchan, it was not in a state of usability or readiness when Yom Tov began, therefore you cannot Shecht it. However, Ushmuel v'tema Rav Yochanan Amar, but Shmuel says b'shem Rav Yochanan, it is mutter hoel umatir atzmei b'shchita. So this is a very, very tricky svara. It's actually a hard svara to even articulate. Here's the thing. When you have a fertilized egg, you cannot eat that fertilized egg for a Dover Pashut, because number one, sure, it's actually called a sheretz, which means even if you were to crack open the egg and extract this little thing and take a razor blade and cut its tiny little neck, that would not be a valid shechita, because until you have normal hatching, it is a sheretz. It's called a creeping creature. Now, when it emerges from the shell, the Isser of Sheretz comes off, and you're now able to shecht it. In other words, emergence from the shell removes a prohibition that would otherwise exist. In other words, it maters it b'shchita. So the svara here is that once we say emergence from the shell takes off the Isser d'oraisa of Sheretz, it will certainly take off the Isser D'Rabbanan of Muktzah. Because breaking through the shell is a Maisa that takes off prohibition.
So it takes off all prohibition, rather than just the logical prohibition.
That's what he's saying. In other words, essentially, maybe the argument would go that we're not going to treat the Isser of Muktzah more severe than the Isser it already had, which is a Torah Isser. And if the breaking through the shell is strong enough to take off the Torah prohibition, so you could shecht it now, it'll take off the rabbinic prohibition of Muktzah. Now, the reason why we paskin like Rav is very simple, because the prohibition goes off, but that itself is nolad. That's a newly created hetzer, right? And that'll make it Muktzah. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha. So you understand, see the lashon here? Ho'il umatir atzmo b'shchita, meaning the breaking through the egg permits you to shecht the bird. So since the Isser of Sheretz goes off, the Isser of Muktzah goes off. Now, goes off as well. Now, Amri le Rav Kahana v'Ravasi l'Rav. So Rav Kahana and Ravasi said to Rav, now Rav says Usser, right? Rav says Usser. They ask Rav, V'chi ma bein ze li egel shenolad b'yamtiv. What is the difference between an egg that hatches, in which you're telling me I cannot shech the chick, and the egel, that a calf that is born, where I can shech? So the answer is, Amar Lahu, it's very different. Hayil umuchan agav imo b'shchita. See, he's taking the idea of sheres in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. When a cow is pregnant with a calf, yeah, if I would shech the mother, I would be allowed to eat the calf inside. Because the halacha is that the vlad within a calf is mutter with the shchita sa'ein. So consequently, on one level, you could say nothing new has been created here. Because before the calf was born, I could shech the mother and eat the calf. After the calf is born, I could shech the calf. So consequently, there has not been a newly created function here. As opposed to the egg, until the egg was hatched, I wasn't allowed to eat it.
Sherets.
Yeah. Now the egg is hatched, I'm allowed to eat it, it's nolad. Right? So that's Rav's argument why an ephroach that hatches is different than an ego shenolad, right? Uma ben zeli ego shenolad, I'm sorry, v'chima ben zeli ego shenolad b'yamtav, amar lahu. An eagle that's born on Yom Tov was in a state of readiness and usability because you could have shechted the mother. Hayel umuchan, the eagle is considered to be in a state of readiness or preparedness, agav imo, through its mother, bishchita. But then they asked him another question. Uma bein zeh li eagle shenolad min atreva. Very interesting question. Let's assume that the mother animal, the cow, was a trefa. Let's say it had a perforation in its heart. Now, if you shech the trefa, you cannot eat the animal. And if I shech the trefa, the vlad in the animal is also going to be forbidden. So in effect, we could say the following. It's exactly like the egg. Just like the egg, until the egg hatches, I couldn't eat it because of sheretz. And therefore, Rav's opinion is, when the bird emerges, it is a newly created entity. Well, if the calf is born from the trefa, as long as it was in the mother, I couldn't eat it. Now I could. It's nolad. It's nolad. Now the cow is a trefa. The vlad is not a trefa. Yeah. So now that the vlad is born, I could. So why should that be mutter? Let me put it the other way around. And yet we say, the halacha is the eagle is mutter. So the Ephroach should be mutter as well. So Shosik Rav. Rav didn't answer. And the question is, he held it was a good question or he didn't want to answer it. So now we're going to discuss, why did Rav not answer that question? So Amar Rabba Vitema Rav Yosef. My Taima Shosik Rav. Rav apparently didn't have an answer. But why did he have it? Why didn't he have an answer? Let him say the following. Lema Lahu. Hayel umuchan agav imai liklavim. There's a simple difference. An animal, a calf that is inside of a trefa, although it is not roy to eat for shchita, but it's roy to kill the mother, and you can then feed the animal to dogs. In other words, before Yom Tov, it was in a state of readiness as a foodstuff, although not a food for people, or at least for Jews, but a food for animals, as opposed to a fertilized, unhatched egg, which is not only halachically forbidden to eat as a sheretz, but it's also nothing an animal would eat either. So in effect, when it hatches, you're going from zero use to full use. By ego, you're going from animal use to human use. But maybe the argument is, since it was raw oil for animal use, it had a shame of a prepared foodstuff from before Yom Tov. And therefore, just because the ego that is born from a trefa is permitted to shecht, is not a kasha and rav about an ephroach shenolad b'Yom Tov.
I tried to skim ahead, and I didn't think I saw them asking a kasha. I mean, you could make the same argument about the bea and dogs too. This dog could be, once it's been hatched, It could be by dog.
Once it's been hatched, yeah, I understand.
Not once it's been laid.
So here Rashi says. That usually animals are not going to eat those eggs. He just says that they might. Yeah. There are predators that live off eating eggs. But I guess the animals that frequent domestic neighborhoods.
Because they're domesticated.
Animals.
You derive the benefit from the dog eating.
Right. So the typical domestic animal, unless you have a mongoose or something, but a typical domestic animal will not eat the egg.
Who are feeding to the dogs, the mother or the cub or the baby?
Either one. But we are focusing on the baby, because the calf has to be in a state of readiness.
The calf, if the mother was shechted and was a trefa, then the calf now is trefa.
Yes, that's correct. They're all the same. And therefore, there's a good distinction. Why didn't Rav give this answer?
You can't shech the calf, can you?
No, that's the thing. Once you shech the mother, the calf, even if it's alive, is halachically dead. Huh. And since it's halachically dead, you can shoot it and you can shecht it, but if the mother was a trefa, the calf has the status of a halachically shechted trefa, and therefore you couldn't eat it. Okay. So Amar Leh Abaye, but Abaye says that's not a kasha. Just because the calf was edible for animals does not make it muchan as a food fit for human consumption. Because we even rule the other way around. Hashta, now, muchan li adam, lo havi muchan l'klavim. We see from a Mishnah the opposite idea. Let's assume before Yom Tov, food was in a state of readiness for human consumption. And what happened was, on Yom Tov, it lost its human potential and was only available for animal potential. That's called a newly acquired function, which makes it muktzah. And where do you see that? Disnan. The Mishnah said, we had this Mishnah before, Mechatchen es hadluyin lefnei abehema. We cut up melons. Now that's not muktzah at all. We cut up melons to feed to animals. That's not muktzah. But this is muktzah. V'yes hanaveila lefnei aklavim. If a cow died on Yom Tov, you can cut up the dead carcass and feed it to dogs. But we possibly make Rav Yehuda. But Rav Yehuda Omer, Im lo hoisa nevela me'erev Shabbos, if the animal didn't die before Shabbos, if it died on Shabbos, asura lefi she'enem enuchak. Let me explain what the issue here is. If the animal was alive, a normally good cow, you're not going to kill and give to animals because that's not worth it. I mean, in other words, a normal animal that's alive, a kosher animal, is normally in a state of readiness for human consumption. So when Shabbos began, this animal was muchan liadam. It died on Shabbos. At this point, it's no longer muchan liadam. It is only muchan liklavim. So the question is, Rav Yehuda actually says it is now considered nolad. Why is that so? Because in effect, it has radically changed function. It's not nolad in the sense of something newly created, but it's nolad in the sense that its function when Shabbos began was for human consumption, and in the course of Shabbos, it is only suitable for animal consumption. And therefore, we do not regard it as muchan for animal consumption before Shabbos. And that's why Rav Yehuda says, you can only feed a carcass to the dogs if the animal died before Shabbos, not if it died on Shabbos. So you see from there, muchan li adam is not called muchan liklavim. Therefore, the argument is, if even something that is such a foodstuff that a human would eat it is not considered suitable for animals, then kal v'chomer, the reverse, muchan l'klavim, that which is only suitable for animals, for example, that's the egel that is within a mother that is a trefa, Have muchan liadam. In other words, he's explaining why this is a good kashan Rav. Rav made the argument that when the Efroach hatches, when the chick hatches on Yom Tov, it is muktzah. We asked Rav Akasha, why is that different than the Egel that is born on Yom Tov, which was not in a state of Hachana? We then said, why couldn't Rav give the answer? No, it was in a state of Hachana, because it was Roy for the dogs. But the answer is no. Being Roy for the dogs is not being Roy for people. And therefore, it's not in a state of Hachana. Therefore, it's a good question on Rav. But the Gemara says, when all is said and done, there is a difference. In, yes, muchan li adam lo have muchan li klavim. It is entirely possible to say that when something is suitable for human consumption, we do not regard it as suitable for animals, because you will never give to an animal that which is suitable for a human being. And that is why if the animal didn't die until Shabbos, you cannot give it to the animals, because when Bein HaShemashos came, it was not muchan for adam. It was not muchan for klavim. That which is fitting for human consumption, lo shadilei leklavim, you will never send to a dog. But just because roi liadam is not muchan lebehema, doesn't mean roi lebehema is not muchan liadam, because a person is always hopeful. Meaning to say the following: when I have an animal that's alive, see, look at it in terms of hope and anticipation. When I have an animal that's alive, that's suitable for human consumption, my hope and my expectation is I will eventually shecht it and eat it. And therefore, it's as if my mind is thinking, I don't want this to go to the animals. If it then dies and it has to go to the animals, that's a newly created function for which it was not muchan. Therefore, I can't use it. But let's take the Efroach situation, or the Egel situation. As long as the Egel is in the Trefa, it's only suitable for animals. But what's my hope? My hope is that the cow will give birth to the Egel, so I will be able to take it for human consumption. So even when it is only suitable for animal consumption, I am thinking and hoping I will be able to use it for human consumption. And that's why that which is set aside for animals is treated as potentially set aside for human consumption. And therefore, it actually is a good answer. Meaning, why is the egel that is born from a trefa not muktzah? Because it was ra'oi for behema. And when it's roi for behema, it's considered roi for adam. But Masha'en came the Efroach, the egg was not roi even for behema, and that's why Rav says it is usher. Okay, in other words, Rav is good. Rav is now good because of this chilun. Okay. All right. But be it as it may, again, we have a machlokes, Rav and, was it Rav and Rav Yochanan? Yeah. Rav Shmuel v'Itamar of Yochanan, that Rav's opinion is that the Efroach that hatches is usser, and Rav Yochanan and Shmuel's opinion is the Efroach that hatches is mutcher. Yeah, again, I just want to clarify. I think I may have misspoke. Just an obvious point. I think that we were bothered by a non-existent question last time, because we were asking, well, gee, if the egg hatched on Yom Tov and the egg is already usser, I'm sorry, if the egg was laid on Yom Tov and the egg is already usser, how can we then matcher the Efroach? But the answer is very simple. If an Efroach hatches on Yom Tov, then by definition the egg was laid before. In other words, I had somehow perceived this as a problem of the egg was laid and then hatched. But that's not how it works. If the egg hatches on Yom Tov, it was not an egg that was laid on Yom Tov at all. It was an egg that was laid before Yom Tov. So it doesn't really get involved with that question is a non-existent problem. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav,
Do we know what the time?
I don't know what the time is, but I know it's not the same day.
It could be the night before.
No, it's not that soon. It's, I think, at least a few weeks. The chicken sits on the eggs for a while. Now today, of course, unless you run an organic farm, the eggs we buy are not fertilized eggs. So it doesn't have to. There's nothing that has to be hatched. But if it hatches eggs, it has to sit on them for a while. It's like, I'll check. I don't know the exact time period, but it is a while. So it would never be, an egg would never be hatched on the day that it's laid. Okay. Now then the Gemara says, Tanya kavasei de Rav. We have a brisa that says, like Rav, that it's forbidden. In Tanya kavasei de Shmuel vitema Rav Yochanan, that it is permitted. Tanya kevasei derav, mamish beferish. Egel shenayled beyamtif mutter. A calf that is born on yamtif, you're allowed to shecht. Efroach shenayled beyamtif. A chick that is hatched on yamtif, it is usher to eat, exactly like Rav. And the Brisa says, uma hefresh bein zelazeh. And what is the difference between the chick and the calf? So it says.
This is a different sugya. Is it a different reason?
No, this is the same reason that Rav gave before. Same reason. Well,
feeding the food to the dogs, but I guess this is a different one.
No, no, that thing about feeding it to the dogs is referring to where the mother is a treifa. But if the mother is a kosher animal, you could actually shecht the calf, the mother and the calf, and eat it.
Okay.
You could actually eat it. Ze muchan agav imo b'shchita. When the calf was in the cow. Since you could have shechted the mother, and by shechting the mother you could have eaten the cow, the calf, it was in a state of hachana, v'zeh, but the egg, which was already separated from the mother, is not in a state of edibility when Yom Tov began, because it was a sheretz, and the dogs wouldn't eat it either, and therefore it's muktzah. So that's exactly like Rav. However, Tanya kivasei d'Shmuel v'tema Rav Yochanan. We have another brisa that says like Shmuel, or some say Rav Yochanan, that it's permitted. It says, Egel shenayled b'yamtif mutter, and it says, Efroach shenolad b'yamtif mutter, the Efroach is mutter as well. In other words, mutter, my taima. So he says, And this is what Zem uchan agavim. Two different reasons. The egel is mutter because it was part of the mother, which could have been shechted and eaten. That's muchan. It's in a state of readiness because of the mother. Vizeh, and with respect to the efroach, matir atzmo bishchita. This was the reason that Shmuel said before, and that is, since the hatching of the egg takes off the Isser Dioraisa of Sheretz, and now you could shecht it, so it's a matir. By taking off that Isser, it takes off the other Isser of Muktzah as well. Matir Atzmo Bishchita. All right. So each Mandiyamar, each opinion, has a Braisa that supports it. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another Braisa. Where the Tanakhama says beferish like Rav, efroach shenaylad biyamtov usser, mamish like Rav. If a chick is hatched on yamtov, you are not allowed to shecht it. Okay, that's fine. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov adds another point, which is really peripheral, af b'chol usser, a newly hatched chick, cannot even be shechted on during the week right away. Until it opens its eyes. He says, Lafi shelo nispatchu einav, because its eyes are not opened yet. Now that's another law. In other words, what he's saying has nothing to do with Muktzah or Yamtif. He is basically saying that just like the Efroach, or just like the embryo in an unhatched egg, is forbidden as a sheretz, it remains a sheretz even after hatching.
So breaking through the shell doesn't work.
Right. Breaking through the shell is not sufficient. It has to open its eyes. I don't know how long that takes, but it takes a few hours or a day or so. Mm-hmm. And therefore, his point is, you cannot shecht a newly hatched egg until the afroach opens its eyes. Halachically, it is still a sheretz. So actually, it's not the hatching that matters at Peshkita, but it's the opening up of its eyes. Mm-hmm. However, he doesn't really address, once it opens up its eyes, are you allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov? That's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. He's not addressing the mukta problem. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Keman Azla Hadesanya. According to whom is the following opinion? It says in the Brisa, L'chol HaSheretz HaShoretz Al Ha'aretz. Right? The Torah says you're not allowed to eat any crawling creature that crawls on the ground. Now, that this is superfluous because it already repeated the laws of Sheretz. So the Brisa says, L'rabos, this is designed to include Ephrochim Shelo Nispatchu Einayim, newly hatched chicks who are still like creeping around because they can't see. So who does that go like? That obviously goes like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. In other words, even though it's a stam brisa without any attribution, but the isser that it states is only true like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because according to the Tanakhama, it would be mutter. Okay. Now we have another statement. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Beya im yitziasa nigmara. A very enigmatic statement that doesn't appear to have a clear meaning. An egg is considered finished only when it leaves the body of the chicken, meaning it has to be laid. It is not considered to be a complete egg until it is laid, not hatched, laid. Now, the question is, what is he referring to? So the Gemara now asks, Mai, what does he mean by the term im yitziasa nigmara? Now, this is not talking about Yom Tov at all. Now, let me just mention this outside. One possibility is it may refer to the parav status of eggs. We know, right? Actually, it's interesting that eggs are parav, and it's even interesting that milk is milchik. milk arguably could have been fleishik. Comes from meat. But we know that eggs are parav. I can eat eggs with milk, even though the eggs were hatched or laid, rather, from a chicken. So maybe the argument is an egg is called an egg rather than meat only if the egg was laid. Meaning, if I shecht a chicken and I find eggs inside of the hen, I'm allowed to eat them, but maybe I have to treat them as fleishik. So one possible interpretation, we'll see if this is true, one possible interpretation of Rav Huna is an egg is an egg only if it's laid. An egg until it's laid, i.e. found inside of the chicken,
it's part of the chicken,
is meat, is part of the chicken. Right? That's one possible meaning. Elema, maybe you'll say it means the following. Im yitziasa nigmara, it is completed as an egg when it is laid. Therefore, muteres liachla b'chalav. Therefore, only a laid egg can be eaten with milk. Ha bi mei ima, but an egg that is found when I slaughter the mother, asura liachla b'chalav, would be treated like the mother, and I couldn't eat it with milk. That's not true. For Hassanya, we learned in a brisa exactly the opposite. It says in the brisa, Hashochet es atarnagolas, if I shecht a chicken, umatsa ba bayim gemuros. Now, we'll still have to define this term. It says, you find inside the chicken complete eggs. Now, we'll have to define it, but if they are complete with the shell, even if they are still in the chicken's body, you can eat them with milk. You can take them out and eat them with milk. Mutaros liachlan b'chalav. So Rav Huna could not be saying that the heter of eating it b'chalav is only if it was laid, because he says even if you find it after the animal dies, you could eat it with chalav as long as they're gemuros. So that interpretation is rejected. Ella, maybe the other interpretation is this: im yitziasa nigmara umuteres liachla biyamtov ha bimeima asura liachla biyamtov. So maybe it's saying the following: only if an egg was laid before yamtov, right? If the egg was laid before yamtov, I'm allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. But what if... Now, we know the following. I mean, this we know. If the egg was laid before Yom Tov, I can eat it on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
If the egg was laid on Yom Tov, I could not eat it on Yom Tov. That's Beis Hillel. But here's the question. What's the halacha if I shecht a chicken on Yom Tov and I find eggs? Can I eat the eggs in the chicken that I shecht on Yom Tov? So perchance, Rav Huna is saying, no, you can only eat an egg that was laid before Yom Tov, and not the eggs that you find in the chicken on Yom Tov. Well, we're going to see, is that true? Ella, the second possibility of Rav Huna is, im yitziyasa nigmara, with its being laid, with leaving the chicken, it is considered to be complete, and therefore if it was laid before Yom Tov, muteres liachla b'Yom Tov, I'm allowed to eat it. Ha bimei ima, if I check the mother on Yom Tov and I find eggs, I'm not allowed to eat those eggs. Right? That would be the possible meaning of Rav Huna. Well, the problem is, that's not true either. For Hasanya, it says in the Braisa Beferish, Hashochet es hatarnegeles, if I shecht a chicken on Yom Tov, umatza ba beyim gemuros, and I find complete eggs inside of the chicken, mutaros liochlin b'Yom Tov. Meaning, it's not like an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, it's part of the chicken. Which means, we offer two possible meanings. Rav Huna says that the egg is considered an egg only if it's laid, and not if it's in the chicken's body. Now, we offer two possibilities. One possible meaning is, as long as it's in the chicken's body, when you shechted the chicken, it's fleishik, and you can't have milk with it. Not true. You could have milk. The other interpretation is, as long as it's in the chicken's body, it remains usher when you shecht the chicken on Yom Tov. That's not true. But then we say, well, wait a second here. Maybe that's only what the Braisa says, that the egg is mutter on Yom Tov. Because the Mishnah doesn't say it. V'chi teima, maybe you'll say, kamashvalan b'braisa maidlo ashminan b'misnisan. The Braisa teaches me a permission, i.e. to eat the egg on Yom Tov, which is not given in the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah prohibits it. The answer is no. We can prove from the Mishnah that it's permitted as well, not just the Braisa. Honami Tanina. It says in the Mishnah, Be'a Shanel de b'Yom Tov. Only if the egg is laid on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai says you can eat it. Beis Hillel says you can't eat it. But the Mashmos is, the problem of the egg is because it was laid on Yom Tov. But until it's laid, you can eat it with the chicken. V'ad kan lo pligi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel benolda. Now, so the Gemara is kind of holding on to this. Maybe you'll say no. When Beis Hillel says it's forbidden, he doesn't just mean it's forbidden if it's hatched. It's forbidden in the chicken as well. Maybe he prohibits the egg even in the chicken. Why does Beis Hillel only prohibit the egg when it's hatched? I'm sorry, when it's laid. V'hai diktani nailda See, that's the chiddush. See, here's the point. The point is, there's much more of a reason to asher the egg when it's laid, because it's a newly created entity, than when it's in the chicken. So maybe Beis Hillel asers not only the egg, but he asers the egg even in the chicken. But the Mishnah gave you the case of the egg to teach me a chiddush that Beis Shammai makers even the egg, and not just the chicken. Well, that can't be, because according to that, you're trying to tell me that they both, I'm sorry, not they both, you're trying to tell me that Beis Hillel, in other words, you're trying to tell me Beis Hillel would asser the egg even inside of the chicken. Well, Elohad Sanya, there is a brisa that says, Hashochet is a tarnagolz, masa bayon gemuris, if you find eggs in the chicken, you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Now, that seems to be neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel. It's not Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai would permit the egg even if it's laid. And it's not Beis Hillel, because you're telling me Beis Hillel would prohibit the egg even if it's not laid. And yet, there is a brisa that clearly permits the egg if it's not laid. So, that concludes the idea that Beis Hillel assers the egg only when it's laid. So we're back to square one, and that is, very simple, what does Rav Huna mean when he says an egg is not considered to be complete until it is laid? On one hand, in the chicken, it is parif, and on the other hand, in the chicken, you can eat it on Yom Tov. So what happens, what is special about the laid egg that permits something that would not be permitted on an unlaid egg? So the answer is this. It's really a business situation. Im yitziyasa nigmara umigadeles efrochim bimei ima eina megadeles efrochim. Which means a fertilized egg, a fertilized egg will be capable of producing a chick only if it is hatched from a live mother. But if the mother dies and you retrieve the fertilized egg from the mother's body, it will not be capable of hatching a viable chick. So that's what Rav Huna means. A fertilized egg is capable of hatching a viable chicken, a viable chick, only if it was laid from a live mother, but not if it was retrieved from a dead mother. It's a biological assumption. L'may nafkamina, why is that important? L'mekach u'memkar, for business transactions. Let's assume, in other words, we have to know this, breach of contract. Let us assume that you enter into a contract to supply me with fertilized eggs from which I will raise chickens. So the principle here is, if you give me fertilized eggs that were retrieved from dead hens, even though they're fertilized, that is considered to be a basis for cancellation of the sale, because you did not sell me eggs that are capable of producing live chicks. That's mekach u'memkar. And the Gemara gives an example of this. Ki ahu di amar lahu. A person said, Beya de pachya leman. Who can give me eggs that were laid from a live chicken? In other words, I want eggs that were laid from a live chicken, not eggs that were retrieved from a dead chicken.
What's pachya?
Live. Actually, it means crowing. I want the eggs of a crowing hen, which means a live hen. So Yavulei Beya Dishchuta. They gave him eggs that were retrieved from a slaughtered hen. Fertilized eggs, Taka. Asala Kami Rabbi Ami. He went in front of Avami and wanted to know, can he get his money back? So Amar Lahu, Asa Ravami Paskins, Mekach Taos Hu. This was a sale under a mistake. You thought you were getting eggs that could produce chicks. And you got eggs that do not produce chicks, even though they're fertilized. If they were not fertilized, then of course it's a mekachdos. The chiddush is...
Could you put them in an incubator or something?
Well, maybe today, you know, today. Yeah, there might be... Today there might be scientific ways of doing it, but in those days, you know, this is what they didn't have.
Rabbi could sit on the egg.
Yeah, well, okay.
Put them in a tenor or something.
Well, you can have a Horton on the egg, whatever, like in Dr. Seuss. Okay.
You can make it, you know, put in a little gently nice warm tenor and just keep it...
Well, you know, I don't know the technology, you know, the, you know, these might be delicate things. And therefore, it is a sale based on a mistake. If you have a contract for a Ford and they give you a Chevy, you can cancel the sale and get your money back. If you entered into a contract for eggs that are capable of producing Efrochim, and they gave you eggs that are not capable of producing Efrochim, you get your money back. Now, the Gemara asks Akasha, Pshita. But this is very obvious. And the reason is because you don't even need the rule that we just said. Because he said specifically, I want to buy eggs. See, the idea that an egg that is laid from a live animal, a live chicken, is Megadelis Efrochim, you don't need that for this case because the guy said, I want to buy eggs from a live chicken. So this case is Pashut. Why do you even need to go with the empirical statement that it's not capable of Megadelis Efrochim? Right, that's the Gemara's kasha. The answer is no. Because Ma'u Detema, I might have thought that when he said, see, the problem is this. He did not say explicitly he wanted eggs that would raise chickens. He didn't say that. He only said, I want eggs from live hens. Now, possibly he may have meant this. Maybe he actually wanted unfertilized eggs, and he wanted them for eating. Unfertilized eggs. Now, why do you want unfertilized eggs from live hens? Because they would be fresher. Like they wouldn't spoil. Now, let me explain this outside a little bit, because this is actually an important aspect of commercial law. If his goal is eating, and instead he is given eggs that are not so fresh, his remedy would not be to cancel the sale, because he still got eggs that are edible. But rather, he just got something of a slightly inferior quality. So his remedy would not be cancellation. His remedy would be price abatements. He would get the difference between fresh eggs and eggs that are a little less fresh, as opposed to cancellation. But once we say that his kavana was not for eating, his kavana was to produce chicks, and it is the case that eggs retrieved from dead hens are not capable of producing live chicks, then he didn't simply get something of lesser quality. He didn't get what he wanted at all. Then the chiddush is the whole sale is null and void. So that's the chiddush, meaning I might have thought that perhaps we interpret him as requesting unfertilized eggs for eating. And if he's requesting unfertilized eggs for eating, v'hai dikamer depachya, why does he want eggs from a live hen? Mishum ditzereven, because they're fresher. And therefore, l'may nafkamina, what is the difference between fresh eggs and eggs that are not so fresh? It would not be cancellation, but it would only be l'misvele beini beini. He gets back the difference in price. So if he paid $10, we'll give him back $5. Kamash malan, that what he really wants is fertilized eggs that'll produce live chickens. And eggs that are retrieved from a dead hen will not produce anything. In such a case, that is a fundamental error in what he's getting. He is entitled to get his money back and cancel the whole sale. Let's read one more case.
But
yeah.
Didn't he request specifically Megadelet Efrochim?
No. No, that's not what he requested. He just said, his actual words were, Beya de Pachre Laman. Beya de Pachre, meaning, who has eggs from a crying hen? That's all he said. He did not specifically say the words, I want eggs that are Megadela Sefrochim. So the Gemara says, well, there's a possible other interpretation that he wants non-fertilized eggs for eating, and he just wants them to be fresh. So if they're slightly less fresh because they were retrieved from a dead hen, that would not necessarily be cancellation because he's still getting edible eggs. But if he wants eggs that are Megadela Sefrochim, eggs obtained from a dead hen are not capable, that's a fundamental difference in what he's getting. Then he cancels the wholesale. Right? That's the chiddush.
Can one imagine that he would use a term like this that is not specific for what he wants? I mean,
In other words, it's like a synonym for I want fresh eggs for eating. So fresh eggs means eggs that came from a hen that was crowing. Fresh eggs.
But if he wanted Megadela Tefrochim, he wouldn't say, I want fresh eggs.
So you're asking, why do I assume that he wants Megadela Tefrochim, you mean? In other words, you're saying the Gemara's Havamina is a good Havamina. In other words, why do I make the assumption that he wants Megadela Tefrochim if he didn't say it?
Right.
No, because we that's how we interpret this. In other words, we are interpreting that his statement, I want eggs born from a live hen, means I want eggs that can raise a frochim. It's a way of asking for it. It's a term that would mean that. That's our assumption, even though he was not explicit.
Yeah.
Now, let's see another example, of a parallel example of this language thing, although it's a different situation. Hahu, the Omar Lahu, a man was saying in the marketplace, Beya did dachra man laman. Beya did dachra means eggs from a rooster. Now, this means fertilized egg. Obviously, the rooster doesn't lay the eggs, but it means I want eggs from a rooster, which seems to mean I want a fertilized egg. So what they did was, Yavule Beya, they gave him eggs, Disafna Meara, that the hen was rubbing against the ground. This is the expression in the Gemara for unfertilized eggs, as if to say that the egg got produced unfertilized just by the hen getting warm, sitting in a warm place. So L'chaira, this seems to be clearly a Mekachtos. He wanted fertilized eggs. They gave him an unfertilized egg. Asal kamei de Rav Ami. He went before Rav Ami. He wanted his money back. So Amar Lahu. So Rav Ami said, Mekachtoso, you have been deceived. You wanted a fertilized egg. You got an unfertilized egg. For hadar meaning the money goes back, meaning you get your money back. So the Gemara asks Peshitta. This is more obvious. If you ask for a fertilized egg and you get an unfertilized egg, you have been cheated. The answer is, even here, we could fetch it out a little bit. Ma'u detema ha'ili achilo kaboilu. Even when he said he wanted an egg of a rooster, he doesn't really mean a fertilized egg. Rather, he just wants the egg of a hen that has access to a rooster. Now, again, just because a hen has access to a rooster doesn't mean the particular egg is fertilized. Why would he want an unfertilized egg of a hen that has access to a rooster? What benefit is that? So it says, V'hai dikamar didachra, the reason why he said there has to be a rooster involved, mishum de shaminan tfei. I'm not sure what the science here is. It says that the hen will be fatter, maybe happier, if she's has sexual outlets, and therefore the egg will be of higher quality. So once again, if he wants an unfertilized egg, then it's equally good if there's a rooster or not a rooster involved, And the only difference would be in quality, so he would only get a monetary rebate. L'may nafkamina, l'may svila beini beini, given the difference in value, kamash malan, that he means literally he wants a fertilized egg, and therefore it cannot be safna meyara. Okay? So this is an example. But actually, this is actually a very, very interesting halacha. We will stop here. An interesting halacha in Choshen Mishpat. Because I would have assumed the following. I would have assumed that if I enter into a contract to get a specific thing, and I don't get the specific thing, it's a mekachtos. I mean, if I said I wanted eggs from a live hen, even if I just meant for eating, I didn't get what I was supposed to get. So you see from the Gemara a very interesting halacha. That is, if you don't get what you were supposed to get, but the purpose of the transaction can still be satisfied, albeit at a lower standard of quality, your remedy is only monetary abatement. It is not cancellation. You cannot just cancel by saying, this isn't what I wanted to buy. Which is interesting. I mean, let's imagine this. I mean, let's talk about a Ford and a Chevy. I mean, what if I signed a contract for a Cadillac and I got a Chevy? I mean, according to this reasoning, I am stuck with the car, but I get a refund of the difference between a Ford and a Chevy. It's a little strange. I mean, that's not true under secular law.
A Cadillac and a Chevy, man.
The Cadillac, yeah, right.
The difference between a Cadillac.
You're
and a Chevy.
Right. That's correct. So if I paid whatever it is, $50,000, and the Ford would be whatever it is, $15,000. You know, I mean, secular law is certainly not that way. I mean, if you signed a contract for Cadillac and they gave you a Chevy, the whole transaction is null and void. So this is an interesting concept that you can be stuck with something you didn't want, but you just get a reduction of your price.
Would that be true?
I'm not sure it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the egg tastes the same. But the
well, it
motor,
doesn't taste exactly. Okay, well, all
the
right.
Motor and the sitting this is completely different.
Okay, we'd have to make, I mean, there might be differences there. I mean, obviously the egg doesn't taste the same otherwise, but yeah.
Would that be true if there was fraud involved too? Like some
what if it was deliberate?
It was deliberate, or it's a counterfeit version of, you know, like it's this, like the hand.
I don't know. The Gemara is not mechalek between the guy who substituted it deliberately and the guy who did an accident. You know, it doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't
so if someone sells you one of those Bolex, and you think you're buying a Rolex.
Really.